In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, Amen. Veni, Sancti Spiritus, replegio ancora fidelium tuum nobis, et in ascende. Emite Spiritum tuum in Gaia bonum,
et regnum vobis faciem terrae.
Oremus Deus qui corda fidelium Sancti Spiritus, illus et acquisti da nobis in iudem Spiritu recta sapere, et Deus semper consolatione gaudere, per Christum Dominum nostrum.
Amen.
Sede sapientiae.
Ora pro nobis.
Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. It's his third meditation after we meditated about the world and then the two states, the two cities in this world, namely the city of Satan and the city of our Blessed Lady. Now we must continue with our meditation about the spirit of this world. And this meditation will be dedicated to money, ownership, or material things. And if you look out into this world today, the longing for the world goes after money, material things, and ownership. The world means you can buy your happiness. But the disciple of Christ knows that material things are also a gift of God. However, the disciple of Christ or the child of Mary knows the danger in the passing away of these material things. He knows of the word of our Lord, who said how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Our meditation consists today, and now we turn to another writing of St. Louis Grigno de Montfort. It's called The Love of Eternal Wisdom. And I copy that for you, right? Towards the end of this little treatise of eternal wisdom, which is nothing else than the Spirit of Christ, right? At the end, he talks about the means to obtain this divine wisdom. And one means is an universal mortification. The saint, the master of this retreat, says, wisdom, the Holy Spirit declares, is not found in the land of them that live in delights, who gratify all the desires of their passions and bodily senses, for they who are in the flesh cannot please God, and because the wisdom of the flesh is an enemy to God. My spirit shall not remain in a man because he is flesh. All those who belong to Christ, the incarnate wisdom, have crucified their flesh with its vices and concupiscences. They ever bear about in their bodies the mortification of Jesus. They continue to do violence to themselves, carry their cross every day, die daily, and bury themselves in Christ. And these words of the Holy Spirit show more clearly than the light of day that possess incarnate wisdom, Jesus Christ. We must practice mortification, renounce the world and self, as we said earlier. If we want to belong to Christ, truly belong to our blessed lady, she has no part in the world whatsoever. We must renounce the world in ourselves. The saint continues, do not think that this wisdom, purer than the rays of the sun, will enter soon in the body soiled by the pleasures of the senses. Do not believe that he will grant his rest and ineffable peace to those who love the company and the vanities of the world. He tells us, to him that overcometh the world and himself, I will give the hidden manna. This lovable prince, though he knows and sees all things in a trace by his infinite light, yet seeks for persons worthy of him. He seeks because there are so few that he can scarcely find any sufficiently detached from the world, sufficiently interior and mortified to be worthy of his person and his riches and of union with him. This wisdom to communicate himself is not satisfied with a half-hearted mortification, a mortification of a few days, but it requires universal, continuous, congruous and prudent mortification. To obtain possession of wisdom, it is necessary either to give up entirely the possession of the world, as did the apostles, Cyprus, the first Christians, and the religious. And this is the best, quickest, and surest means to possess wisdom, or at the very least to be detached in heart from all worldly goods. This detachment permits us to possess worldly goods as though not possessing them, without being eager to acquire or being anxious to retain any, not complaining or worrying when possessions are lost. This is very difficult to accomplish. Not to follow the showy fashions of worldlings in dress, in furniture, in dwellings, in banquets, or any other worldly moods or ways of living. Be not conformed to this world. And this practice is more necessary than it generally thought. Not to believe or to follow the false maxims of the world. Not to think, to speak, or to act as do the people of the world. Worldly doctrine is as opposed to that of the incarnate wisdom, as darkness is opposed to light and death to life. Consider well the opinions and the words of the worldlings. They think and speak evil of all the great truths of religion. True, they do not tell brazen lies. They cover their lying with a cloak of truth. They are not conscious of telling untruth, yet they lie. Nor do they usually teach sinful doctrines openly, but they speak of them as of virtue, on propriety, or else of doctrines of indifference and of little consequence. This cunning, which the devil has taught the world in order to cover up the heinousness of sin and lying, is the wickedness spoken of by St. John when he writes, the whole world is seated in wickedness. This is true now more than ever, the saint says. And what would he say today? We must flee, he continues, as much as possible from the company of men. Not only from that of worldlings, which is hurtful and dangerous, but even from that of devout persons, when association with them is useless and a waste of time. He who wishes to become wise and perfect must put into practice these three golden counsels, which eternal wisdom spoke to St. Arsenius: flee, hide, be silent. Right, that was the big theme of the Desert Fathers. Flee, hide, and be silent. Flee as much as possible from the company of men, as the greatest saints have done. Whenever you do a retreat, in a sense, you flee. You flee from your surroundings, you flee from communicating with people, with creatures. You flee from memories. That's the very meaning, to flee. Flee as much as possible from the company of men, he says, as the greatest saints have done. Let your life be hidden with Christ in God. Be silent in the company of men, that you may converse with divine wisdom. He who knows how to keep silent is a wise man. To obtain possession of this wisdom, we must mortify the body, not only by enduring patiently our bodily ailments or the sufferings which the natural elements bring upon us, but also by freely imposing upon ourselves some penances and mortifications. Here we insert, if you just think of the mortification, they might perhaps be little in comparison with the great penitential men of the church. If you just consider, this would deserve its own conference. We should just consider these little mortifications the three little children at Fatima did, right? Many times they would give their lunch bread away for the mortification in order to obtain the forgiveness of sinners according to the commandment of our Blessed Lady, right? Because they were taught, do everything what you can, make out of everything an offer, sacrifice. We may fast, watch before the Blessed Sacrament, he continues, talk with God during the silent hours of the night and practice other austerities as exemplified in the lives of holy penitents. It requires courage to do this because the body naturally idolizes itself, and the world considers us useless all corporal penances and rejects them. The world does everything possible to deter people from practicing the austerities of the saints. Of each one of the saints, it is said, in due proportion, the wise or the saintly man has brought his body into subjection by continual watchings, fasting, disciplines called insufficient clothing, and every kind of austerity. He made a compact with it not to give it any rest in this world. The Holy Spirit declares of all the saints, they hate the despotic garment which is come. In order that exterior and voluntary mortification be good, it is necessary that it be accompanied by mortification of the judgment and the will and by holy obedience. Without this obedience, all exterior mortification is spoiled by self-love, and it often becomes more pleasing to the devil than to God. Hence, no considerable mortification should be undertaken without taking counsel. I, wisdom, dwell in counsel, he says. He that truly trusteth in his own heart is a fool. The prudent man does all things with counsel. And the great counsel of the Holy Spirit is this: my son, do thou nothing without counsel, and thou shalt not repent when thou hast done. Seek counsel always of a wise man. By this holy obedience we do away with self-love, which spoils everything. By holy obedience the least of our actions become meritorious. It shields us from the illusions of the devil. It makes us conquer our enemies and brings us safely, as peacefully as if we were sleeping, into the harbor of salvation. All that I have just said is comprised in this one great counsel. Leave all things and you will find all things in finding Jesus Christ, the incarnate wisdom. If you still need some nourishment for your meditation, you want to read The Imitation of Christ, Book 3, Chapter 31. Book 3, chapter 31. And he says, disciple speaks, Lord, I stand much in need of a grace yet greater, if I must arrive so far, that it may not be in the power of any man, nor anything created to hinder me. For as long as anything holds me, I cannot freely flee to thee. He was desirous to flee freely to thee, who said, who will give me wings like a dove, and I will fly and be at rest. What can be more at rest than a simple eye that aims at nothing but God? And what can be more free than he who desires nothing upon earth? A man ought therefore to pass and ascend above everything created and perfectly to forsake himself, an ecstasy of mind to stand and see that thou, the creator of all, infinitely transcendence all creatures. And unless a man be at liberty from all things created, he cannot freely attend to things divine. And this is the reason why there are found so few contemplative persons, because there are few that wholly wean themselves from transitory in created things. For this is a great grace is required, which may elevate the soul and carry her up above yourself. And unless a man be elevated in spirit and set at liberty from all creatures, and wholly united to God, whatever he knows and whatever he has, is of no great weight. Long shall he be little and lie groveling beneath who esteems anything great but only the one immense eternal good. And whatsoever is not God is nothing, and ought to be accounted as nothing. There is a great difference between the wisdom of an illuminated and devout man and the knowledge of a learned and studious scholar. Far more noble is that learning which flows from above, from the divine influence, than that which its labor is acquired by the industry of men. Many are found to desire contemplation, but they care not to practice those things which are required thereunto. It is a great impediment that we so much regard science and sensible things and have but little of perfect mortification. I know not what it is, but what spirit we are led, or what we pretend to, who seem to be called spiritual persons, that we take so much pains and have a greater solicitude for transitory and mean things, and scarce ever have our senses fully recollected to think over our own interior. Alas, after slight recollection, we presently wander out of ourselves again, neither do we weigh well our works by a strict examination. We take no notice where our affections lie, nor do we lament the great want of purity in all we do. For all flesh had corrupted its way, and therefore the great flood in issue. As therefore our interior affection is much corrupted, it must needs be that the action which follows should also be corrupted, which is the testimony of the want of inward vigor. From a pure heart proceeds the fruit of a good life. We are apt to inquire how much a man has done, but how much virtue he has done it is not so diligently considered. We ask whether he be strong, rich, beautiful, talented, a good writer, a good singer, or of a good workman. But how poor is in spirit, how patient and meek, how devout in interior, is what few speak of. Nature looks upon the outward things of man, but grace turns herself to the interior. Nature is often deceived, but grace hath her trust in God, that she may not be deceived. And of course, everything what he says about, say, created things, right? The solution of that problem that we are too attached to created things is the total consecration. Because you give everything to Our Lady lawfully, it's a lawful contract, and therefore you don't really possess anything, really. It's her property. You're only the genitor, if you want, of those things, right? You deal with those created things in behalf of her. And, of course, that needs to be lived every day, right? That we, that every time we ask, now how would you, what you would do, right? How would she do it, and why would she do it? And we may ask our Blessed Lady that she really puts our mind in regarding to the subject in the right perspective, that we consider the goods which God gave us in the right light, right? They're not given to us for itself, but as a means that we use them to really go to heaven. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.